Greetings and peace in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and welcome to Sound Doctrine, a radio ministry committed to preaching, teaching, and reaching. We're continuing the sermon on history, humanity, and the heart, where we are looking at Genesis chapter 6, verses 5 through 13, and we've looked at history and we have looked at humanity overall, and we're looking now at a specific man within humanity, the man named Noah. And we took a look last week where we talked about the days of Noah as communicated in the scriptures, and we looked at Matthew chapter 24 and looking again at verses 36 through 39, where Jesus says, "But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." So we talked about this in relation to the return of Jesus Christ, his coming back from heaven to earth, and Jesus Christ referencing the days of Noah in terms of humanity and their response to God's message, and how Noah and his family were preserved because Noah believed God and obeyed God. So as we talked about Noah and the days of Noah, we also continued on and looked at 1 Peter. We looked at 1 Peter in the third chapter, verses 18 through 22, where it says, "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water." And it goes on to communicate the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. So the emphasis here, again, that we're highlighting, we're highlighting the days of Noah, and the days of Noah as communicated in the scriptures, and specifically here in the New Testament, and where we hear the words of our Lord himself, Jesus Christ, referencing the days of Noah and Matthew. And then we see here Peter in his letter referencing the days of Noah and speaking specifically to those who were disobedient. They willfully disobeyed the message concerning the flood, God's judgment, the destruction that was to come as a result of the sins and the violence and the corruption and the wickedness, the evil of humanity. And so this disobedience, this disbelieving brought consequences. But in the midst of this, it tells us not just about Noah, but it also tells us about God, and it tells us about the long suffering of God. And it describes the long suffering of God in verse 20 as the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was preparing, or while the ark was being prepared. And so it points to, again, the disobedience, the long suffering of God, and the ark or the salvation that was brought about in the midst of destruction, and specifically in relation to humanity. And everything once again points to this relationship between humanity and God. And in the midst of this, we find this relationship between God and Noah. And again, the grace of God, and what's reiterated here is the long suffering of God waiting, his patience. And his patience comes with expectation. And that's the waiting part of God's long suffering. God does not, he's not eager to destroy. You know, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plentiful in mercy, as is stated in Psalm 103. And we find out here again in the days of Noah, in the midst of the destruction that is to come by the flood, God is waiting. And God is not just waiting, but God is waiting patiently. And I'm emphasizing that because this certainly is to be understood in our time as well. And but what does Jesus say about this? As God waits patiently, we go back to our Lord's words in Matthew chapter 24, where he says, what is humanity's response? Well, humanity is carrying on business as usual, not concerned with the impending destruction that is to come from the hand of God as a matter of judgment, the righteous judgment of God. And so, again, this disbelief, this willful disobedience concerning the destruction that is to come in the form of the flood in the days of Noah, and yet God is patient and he's waiting patiently with expectation, and God's expectation is the repentance of man in response to the goodness of God. And this is something that gets lost when we talk about humanity and humanity's response to God. What gets lost is the goodness of God. The goodness of God, though the destruction is coming because God has promised it to be so. It's the promise of his coming, as Peter says in 2 Peter, as our Lord Jesus Christ spoke to during his earthly ministry. He's coming back. You can't stop that. You can't dictate it. You can deny it, but it doesn't change the reality of it. So if your response is to continue on with life as usual, rather than responding to the goodness, the long suffering or patience of God that waits with expectation, the expectation being that you repent, that you turn from sin, and that you respond to the kindness, the graciousness, the goodness of God with a pure conscience, that is seeking to be in agreement with God based on the salvation that he offers. In Noah's day, it was the ark. It was believing God and responding by turning to God, turning from the violence and from the depravity, from the destruction, from the damage, from the oppression, from the wickedness, from the evil of the world, from that corruption, this corrupt world, and turning to God. And that's what the patience of God is about. But if you desire to disbelieve, to willfully disobey the message that God communicates, the message that the only way out of this corruption and the only way out of this destruction, the only way out of perishing is through God's grace and the gift that God gives us in the person of Jesus Christ, his son. Inasmuch as he gave the gift of the ark, inasmuch as he provided deliverance through the ark, God provides deliverance through his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, according to his long suffering and his expectation for us to turn from sin and to turn to God. If you reject his goodness, then you will experience the destruction, the same destruction that is communicated here, that's communicated in terms of those who disobeyed and disbelieved, and now they are described as those who are spirits in prison. And so we have this again, this disbelief, the long suffering of God, and the salvation that comes through obedience, responding to God's patience and his expectation, responding to the goodness of God. Rather than seeing ourselves as good, we've got to realize that this world is corrupt and that God is good. Only God is good. And he calls us according to his goodness. And as Paul states in Romans, the goodness of God is to lead us to repentance so that we can draw near to him. So we have all of this as we are looking at this description concerning the days of Noah. And this description again in the New Testament. And so we look again at Noah, not just with regard to the days of Noah, but we look at the faith of Noah. And this is, again, communicated according to God's grace, according to God's grace, where we're told again in Genesis chapter 6 that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And this is what it takes. This is what it takes to be right with God, is that God has to extend grace to us. And we found this in the 8th verse of the 6th chapter, that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And it's no different today. We must find grace. We must be recipients of God's graciousness, of his kindness, of his goodness. And Noah found this. This was presented to Noah from God, as we talked about. So this is the essential part of responding to God, is to respond to his grace by faith. It's through faith, by grace, through faith. And that's how we are to respond to the grace of God. So what did Noah do? How did Noah respond? So when we talk about the faith of Noah, we find right away in Genesis chapter 6, as we followed along, that in this 6th chapter was communicated about Noah with regard to his faith. We find in verse 22, Genesis chapter 6, verse 22, thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so did he. So what does this point out? This points out his obedience to what God communicated to him. And we're going to speak a little more about this, but we're just sort of setting the table in terms of the faith of Noah and how this is communicated here in Genesis, the 6th chapter and the 22nd verse. And then when we move to Genesis chapter 7, for example, and verse 5, once again, it says, and Noah did according unto all that the Lord commanded him. So this is twice that we have this communicated, that Noah did according to all that God commanded him. And then in this case, unto all that the Lord commanded him. The Lord is God. So we're not talking about two separate gods here. We're talking about the Lord God, who communicated to Noah concerning the destruction of the world, the preparation of the ark, and the preservation or the salvation that God would provide for those who trust in him, to those who believe God and who respond with obedience. And that's why it's important that we understand, as is pointed out in 1 Peter chapter 3, which we've already read, that these spirits in prison who were preached to, it says that they were disobedient. They disbelieved. They willfully disobeyed what God said. So we find the difference in Noah. We find the difference with Noah in the midst of disobedient humanity. We find one man who finds grace and who responds with faith and obedience. Obedience is the complement to faith. So we find this again, Genesis chapter 6, verse 22, Genesis chapter 7, verse 5. And then if we move over to chapter 8, verse 1, it says, "And God remembered Noah." And God remembered Noah. So why was God motivated to remember Noah? Because Noah obeyed God. That's the beauty of faith and obedience in response to God's grace and his goodness, is God remembers you. God remembered Noah in terms of the destruction that was to come. And that's why God extended grace to Noah. But just as important, Noah responded with faith and obedience, and therefore God remembered him after the destruction, or in the midst of the destruction, God preserved Noah. So this is about the preservation of those who believe and who respond to God through faith and obedience. Obedience is the complement to faith. Faith is the response to grace. And so that's what we find. Noah, as it relates to humanity, the days of Noah, and now the faith of Noah. So let's look now beyond Genesis, and let's see if there's more to be said with regard to Noah and his faith. And a good place to look at this is in Hebrews chapter 11. And what we find in Hebrews chapter 11 is the testimony concerning faith, not just with respect to Noah, but with respect to those who were the elders, those who came before us, and what the scripture says in relation to this. Now, this is specifically addressed to the Hebrews, but we're going to read their mail, if you will. And it is a beautiful letter, and it's understood to be communicated to the Hebrew believers. And I think it's hard to argue that when you read it. But in this case, it is for every believer, and it communicates the message concerning faith and the promises of God, and the word as communicated not just in Jesus Christ, but through Jesus Christ and continued by the witnesses of Jesus Christ. So we have this witness concerning faith, and that's the context in which this is communicated about Noah, the faith of Noah. And we must understand it in relation to the very first verse in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it," verse 2, "the elders obtained a good report." So this gives us the understanding of this faith that we are speaking about. It's not restricted to Noah, but here specifically we are looking at it in the life of Noah, in the testimony that the scriptures give in relation to Noah. Noah and his faith. And you realize once again that before we get to the faith, we have to understand the grace. We've got to understand God's grace. So here we have this described in Hebrews chapter 1 concerning faith. It is the substance of things hoped for. And this is the assurance that we have, or the confidence in that which we expect. And that's what faith is, the confidence in that which we expect. And in this case, again, it's understood in relation to what God communicates. It's understood in relation to what God says. So the expectation here that we are describing in relation to faith and the substance of faith, you know, or faith being the substance of things hoped for, is understood in relation to what God says. And we're going to find out that it's understood in relation to who God is. And it's a matter of how we respond to God. Always a matter of how we respond to God. So this faith being the substance, the confidence, the conviction, or the proof of what we expect. How do you demonstrate your conviction? How do you demonstrate your confidence? You demonstrate it by believing. You demonstrate it through faith. And not only is it the confidence of what we expect, but it's the evidence of what we don't see. It's the conviction or the proof that although we do not see it, we believe it. So what it says about Abraham, Abraham believed God. He didn't see it. He believed the one who promised it. And that's what we're talking about in relation to the faith of Noah and faith of all who seek to please God, which is what we're going to speak to here in just a minute. But again, it is our confidence in the expectation that God has given us according to his promise. And it is the proof of our conviction concerning what we have not seen. Where we are fully persuaded of it, although we haven't seen it. Why? Because God has promised it. God has spoken it. And this is the case with Noah. This is the case with Noah, and not just Noah, but here in verse 2, it tells us by it, that is by faith, the elders obtained a good report. Those who came before and believed God testified. That's what this means. And it's so important to understand that faith is not just built upon a profession. It's built upon evidence. You got to prove it. You got to prove your faith. And that's where so many believers fall apart in our time, is that we don't prove our faith, but we profess our faith. We have what I call 50% faith. That is, we have the profession, but we don't have the proof. We don't provide the proof. We have the promise. It's what God says. So maybe we're at 66%. We have the promise from God, which is an unchanging promise. We have the profession from man, those who claim to believe, but we seem like we straddle the line when it comes to the proof, which is to not commit ourselves to providing the proof, the evidence of what we expect and what we believed because God has promised it. And so we have to understand that testifying is not about lip service. It is about life proof. We don't need more lip service. We need the obedience that follows the faith. Obedience, again, is always the complement to faith. So the elders testified through their faith. That's what this obtained a good report means. It doesn't mean they just said they believe. It means that in believing, they provided proof. And their proof was in not just their assurance in terms of the expectation of what God has promised, but it is their work or their obedience that follows their faith. And how do I know that? Well, I know that because here in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, it addresses that as well. If you make your way down to verse 6, it says here in Hebrews chapter 11, and again, we're dealing with the faith of Noah is what we're highlighting. And it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So without faith, it's impossible to please him. If you do not have faith, you are not in agreement with God. You are not able to please God. You are not able to gratify or satisfy God without belief. That's why it says in 1 Peter chapter 3 that we read verses 18 through 22 when we read that, speaking of those who disobey, they disbelieve, they willfully disbelieve the message during the day of destruction, during the days of Noah, during that time. And so it's impossible to please God. You can't say that you're going to heaven and you don't believe God. You don't get to usurp God's promise to bypass the requirement for faith and to then establish your own conditions or your own terms for being where God is, suddenly being close to God when you've rejected God. And that's what this is speaking to here. You can't please him if you don't believe him. You can't gratify or satisfy or be well-pleasing to God if you don't believe him and give proof of your belief. It says, for he that cometh to God, if you are to draw near to God, if you are to seek God, you must believe that he is. You must be assured that he is God and that he is as real today as he was yesterday. And guess what? Tomorrow, he's going to be as real tomorrow as he is today. And it's so important to understand this. And this is the testimony concerning Noah. So he, God, that is a rewarder. This is a continuation. You not only believe that he is, but you believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You desire to draw closer to God. And that was Noah's testimony. And that's why God rewarded him, because Noah had the testimony that he walked with God. He walked with God. And God remembers those who desire him, who believe him, who seek to follow him. And God is gracious. God is good. But if you don't respond through repentance and faith, you cannot please God. And Noah responded in faith to God, as it says in verse 7, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. And this is what we have concerning Noah. God told him what he needed to know, and Noah responded with fear, which is to say, he believed God and understood that the destruction that God promised was coming. But God's grace God presented his grace to Noah as a gift, according to God's kindness and according to Noah seeking God and walking with God. Noah responded with faith and fear because he believed God and he obeyed. He prepared an ark that resulted in the salvation of not just Noah, but his household. And it speaks to the condemnation of the world. It resulted in the condemnation of the world. And we're going to speak a little more to this as we springboard then from Noah's faith, or the faith of Noah. And we focus afterwards on the heart of man and the heart of God when we meet again, Lord willing. But until then, remember to tell somebody how sweet it is to trust in Jesus. God bless you.